Good morning. It's a Saturday, and I'm in one of my favorite places, my little corner in our studio. It's always nice to have a place to go to and people to talk to. When I was younger, I realized I'd get locked up if I kept talking to telephone poles. Anyway, as I said, I've left the title, What Have We Got to Lose? Because as it becomes more and more evident with what's going on, and I didn't predict any of this. It's just, I think it just indicates again how we're all part of this world. People understand that parts and cars and shirts are shipped from other places, manufactured here, a piece done there, raw materials come from here. We have container ships going around, planes going around. No matter who's leading a given country, it's the people that really count. Hasn't dawned on everybody yet, because I remember as a kid hearing that wonderful statement about which came first, the chicken or the egg. Doesn't matter. What I've tried to make sure everybody understands, with a better understanding of economics and how it applies to us in our daily life, is that without a market, everything you have is worthless. You have no one to sell it to. So if you kill jobs, if you automated everything. So we go on, what have we got to lose? Anybody who's wealthy, be they billionaires or millionaires, to a certain extent, they are on a treadmill and they are a slave to their investments, because their investments will be worthless if we're not around or don't have the money to purchase whatever the heck they want to sell us. So the more you recognize the power, and I don't mean it in a way of, you know, socialism versus capitalism or anything else. To me, capitalism and free enterprise go together, where people can compete to try and sell you a good at a better price and everything else, or does more. That's what it's all about. When we start deciding that companies, and anybody who's listened to me, I've taught you that any company that's in business, small or large, it doesn't matter. You've got all your costs to recover, and then you need a profit. All your costs include any taxes. So when they talk about tax cuts to corporations, at least you may notice that when they cut the price of oil, when they're pulling it out of the ground, they're selling it by the barrel full on the market, you'll find that the gasoline price goes down, because they're charging less for the raw material that you're buying when it's converted to gas. Give them a 30% tax cut as a business, and did you see a nickel come off the price of the shirt or the dress or the cake or the service that you bought or whatever it was? No. But the money that everybody earns, and there's nothing wrong with that in a capitalistic society or anything else, the money they earn includes everything that we've paid, every expense is passed on to us, the consumer. So the market is really important. If they put us all in prison, who's going to buy whatever they have to sell? They'd have to pay us to keep the prison clean so we'd buy the uniforms we're wearing. This is symbiosis. It's the cute term about, like, the germs who live in our gut when they talk about symbiosis, that we need them to digest the stuff that we put in our system so that our system can perform properly and we can live healthy. So the sooner everybody recognizes that we're not antagonistic to each other, we're sharing the planet, we're working together. So my subheading under what we have to lose for this week, because again, it's a matter of, we've got someone who sits in the Oval Office, and as far as I'm concerned, I've explained it a million times, he doesn't belong there, not because of his inability, but because he's illegally sitting there. But that's my burden. I have followed through on my letter to the Federal Election Commission, and I've sent it to a bunch of places. So let's see if they all laugh when they receive it. But as far as I'm concerned, he's not validly the president. And that has a lot of other things that would happen if they finally agree. Anyway, my subheading for this week was, you've heard all this thing about contain or mitigate. Contain. Anybody can take a wild pig, put it in the backyard, put a fence around it, and it can't leave that area. So that was China's approach, because everybody's heard And people start thinking China's doing this, this is doing it. A disease doesn't know nationality. A virus or a bacteria starts someplace. It didn't pick on a group because they were easier to bite as a bug or something. But the transmission is because of our interdependence and interrelationship all over the planet. So in the old days, they used to quarantine people. They came on a boat. They could tell who was there unless they wanted to jump off mid-ocean and swim in secretly in the middle of the night. Nowadays, you get these plane loads of people, whatever it is, or cross border if they're driving or walking. You still have to deal with it. Containment is one thing. You can lock everybody up in a pen. Our wonderful genius president kept everybody on a boat because he didn't know what to do. And then he kept telling people, "What? I don't want my numbers to look bad." Okay? He's concerned about getting reelected, not about dealing with the problem. Finally, he listened because he was looking to be more of a jerk. So, containment is one thing. Mitigation. You want to mitigate what's going on, meaning you want to take care of it, do something about it. And I'll give you two examples in a second. You can't do containment or mitigation. I was in the military. In the military, they call a certain group, and we all do it when we're out there in the field, recon, reconnaissance. You go out and you check out before you start a new company. You want to find out if there's a market for the product you're going to sell. You want to find out how many people pass a corner if you're going to rent a billboard to advertise. So you reconnoiter. You find out what the presence is of people for your product. Reconnaissance or reconnoitering, in this case, is testing. Forget that we don't have all the test kits. Forget that we didn't order them from South Korea, which we helped build their economy from way back when we fought the Korean War. And they are an ally. Forget that Germany's an ally since World War II and they had the test kits. Why buy them? That would be spending money that the president likes to divert to his resorts when he goes there to play golf. Caring about the public is important. And finally, in his last speech in the last day or two, he's talking about, we'll get through this if we all work together. He discovered there's a we out there. Anyway, you've got to test and locate before you contain and mitigate. Because do you just throw bombs? During World War II, they did that because the Germans bombed London out of existence. So they went back and carpet bombed, as they call it, Berlin and other places almost out of existence. We try and be a little nicer nowadays and target what we're really after. And that's what this is about. We're after controlling a virus. So the testing that we're finally getting to and finally getting the kits out there. And again, we'll find out when we investigate in a year or two what kind of deals he set up with Quest and LabCorp to process this stuff. So they're going to give him through the back door. But the quicker we process this stuff, there have been two charts. If you go on the internet, you'll see China had this big ramp up because it all happened in a heavily populated area, Wuhan. You'll see their chart goes way up and then comes down because they contained it, let it run its course. Basically, they didn't care if the people died. They've got an excessive population, so I guess it doesn't bother them as much as it may bother us. You look at Korea, their line went like this as it started to go up. It came out here because Korea started setting up these drive-through test stations. They talk about mitigating so you smooth out that bump, so you don't overburden the hospitals. You all heard about China building one or two quick hospitals to contain all these people who were sick because they didn't really mitigate it. They contained it. Okay? So we have to be sensible. We don't have to panic, but we have to do the tests, and everybody doesn't need to get tested. But go through your health organizations, talk to your doctors, and they have to check nurseries and stuff, because if it gets in there, we're going to see a lot of deaths. Those people are generally with lowered immune systems. As we get older, our immune system isn't as strong. It's that simple. So, again, we're having the benefit this week. Oh, and let me also say this. When they talk about spending the money in these emergency funds and dragging their feet, and the House worked to pass it and the Senate went home on vacation, this is an emergency. The Senate went home. Let's think about it. Let's vote them out when we vote the next time. However, the money they're spending is our money. As I keep telling you, it's our taxes and our payments that are in the Treasury. So the Treasury is spending our money to help us. Isn't that nice? So if people need to survive because we need them, especially with a low unemployment and restricted immigration, we can't afford to lose people. So we're going to make sure that people who don't have it get money to live on. We're going to make sure that we don't overburden the system, but it's our money. It should be spent on us. My alter ego is here today. You'll hear some more things that are more directed and this stuff, but I wanted to lay this out so we all understand. Panic is not going to help. Staying away from big events and stuff, it'll give it a chance for them to locate where we have hot spots and stuff, which they haven't done because the testing is just rolling out. So we're safer staying out of big groups till they really find out where we have it. Because you know what? By now it's almost in every state. Viruses don't respect borders. And they can start up here as well as any place else. Anyway, my alter ego will now talk for a while. And you'll hear some more directed comments. But think about all of it, folks. This is our planet. This is our country. And whatever's happening is for our benefit.
Good morning. It's always such a pleasure being here, and I always thank the host and his staff for allowing me to be here to speak to you on a Saturday morning. Just want to kind of expand a little bit on what the host just said, and then I'll give you the agenda of the things that we're going to be covering this morning, which is very, very important. It's very interesting. I think one of the things that really hurts me, and by the way, I'm an immigrant of a different language, actually. You wouldn't tell when I speak, people are a little bit surprised, but I'm able to turn it on and off at will, depending on the audience that I have. This is supposed to be the greatest country on earth. We're supposed to be so much more technologically advanced than everybody, which is not true, by the way. A lot of new technology and a lot of medical advancements are from other countries other than the U.S. However, you would take even a country like the Congo, and I'm going to bring this up because the president has insulted every African. By the way, there are 48 countries in Africa, just like you have 50 states here in the United States. They're not all of the same. The culture, the language, everything is different. So I just want you guys to know that even in the Congo, they had tests already prepared and ready for their people. And you would sit here in America and think that every African is poor, dirty, and nasty. I heard that conversation just recently from a white lady. It really pissed me off because, yet again, you don't know anything and you're making assumptions about a group of people while you've got contaminated water here in the U.S. Go to the hillbilly mountains and in the deep south, you got people living in dire straits. So this coronavirus, guys, we should have been leading the effort. And instead, this is the president who used to accuse the prior president, lying on the prior president, that he was leading from behind. And that's all he's ever done since he came into office. Because really, our president is Putin. He's the one that's running our country, not him. And all he does is follow the lead. He doesn't lead at all. So I want you to know that one of the things that we're going to be talking about has to do with a judge that we need to give a shout out to. This is a very, very interesting judge. We're going to post the link for you to see. I encourage everyone to read the letter. This is a man who has sat on the Supreme Court bar since 1972. And he's very, very upset about the way Justice Roberts and his ultra-conservative judges are leading the country, similar to what happened under the Lochner court in the early part of the 20th century. And his letter really is telling Judge Roberts how despicable it is that his only purpose in the court is to make sure that businesses, well-heeled people, people who don't care about the rest of us, don't care about our civil rights, don't care about children, don't care about labor laws, don't care about anything, and how he's sitting there and actually just making sure that the banking and insurance interests and the interests of the president at all levels, taking away the power of Congress to be able to be the legislative body that our Constitution tells us it needs to be. Remember, I keep reminding everyone, you have three forms of government here, three areas. You have the presidency, you have the legislative branch, which is your House and your Senate, and then you have your courts. Each one are supposed to be a balance on the other. The Congress is supposed to balance out the presidency. If you want a dictatorship, then that's what we have and that's what we're getting. Because frankly speaking, we only have one branch of government that's trying to protect our democracy, and that's the House of Representatives. We no longer have the Senate.
Half a branch,
actually. And he's correct. We only have a half a branch. We no longer have the Senate, and we no longer have the federal courts, because they've packed the courts to make sure that the president gets away with corruption. And not only the president, but the other Republican senators like Mitch McConnell and all those guys who are beholden to Russia and other countries now. We should be very, very concerned about that. And I say this to immigrants that come from countries that are dictators. Why did you come to America? Did you come to America to convert it into a dictatorship so you're voting for these types of policies and behavior? Or did you come to America because you wanted the ability to be free and the ability to accomplish things without somebody knocking on your door and pulling you out of your house, shooting you down, or putting you in jail because you're actually speaking out? We have a president and an entire cabinet and an entire Republican Senate and a court that tells us if we say something against the president, they're coming after you. People, pay attention. Please read the letter from Mr. James Dannenberg. It's a shout out to him. I'm happy to see that somebody is speaking out about what's happening. We are being deflected every day away from the things that they're actually doing that's taking away our rights, taking away the needs of our community. So that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about. And we will be talking about the coronavirus, which I'm going to talk about right now before I hand it back to the host. Very interesting. The first thing that the president did was say that the virus is fake news. The Democrats are trying to take him out of power. All of this nonsense. He's such a child. It's pathetic. This is what he kept saying. And along with him, we also had senators going along with this, and Fox News and Breitbart News. You know what, people? I always say that I wish the Democrats were a little bit like the Republicans. They all got in a room, came out with their assignment, and spoke the same thing. But when you really see what the Republicans do, I'm glad that they're independent, and I'm glad that they don't follow what everybody else does. Now, all of a sudden, you got a couple of them getting sick or had contacts with some people, and suddenly the fake news is no longer fake news because they're affected. So when we were being impacted, it was fake news. When they're being impacted, it's a virus. You got to start paying attention to the way these people speak and the things that they say. So now we have contaminated and infected senators. who are going home, who are quarantining themselves, who are doing all of these things. This includes the wonderful governor of the state of Florida suddenly calling an emergency. Before it was fake, now it's no longer fake. So as long as you're rich, white, powerful, and a Republican, if you get sick, it's no longer fake. The rest of us who are workers, who are trying to support our country, trying to take care of our community, when we get it, we are fake. Now what I believe, this is what I believe. Nobody has told me this. I don't have any facts, any proof of what I'm thinking. He purposely, the president and his staff have delayed any response to this because he wanted to declare a state of emergency so he could have more control of the country like a dictator. He will no longer have to follow any laws or any rules. He now gets a hold of billions of dollars that him and Jared could put in their pockets. Most of that money will never get to us. Most of it will never get to our communities. He's already doing that with our budget, redirecting money from the military to build a fake wall so that he can keep his supporters angry and upset about what I have no clue. Now he gets more money and less controlled around him, and we will still continue to suffer. I heard this morning on the news, Governor DeSantis talking about they purchased 2,000 kits and he's got 1,000 of them already. Why are we purchasing anything? Isn't this supposed to be free? And why only 1,000? And the laughable part about it was that he said only the most affected areas are going to get tested. Well, in Florida, you don't have that many. So which areas are is he talking about? Only his area where his supporters are located? Because let me tell you something. The federal government under Donald Trump has purposely kept money away from northern states. They're doing all of this without any money or support. He will redirect the money to the southern states that support him only. And that's not fair because the northern states are the ones that keep the federal government going because of their money that they pay back to the federal government and the things that they do on their own without federal assistance. So people pay attention. You really should be protesting. You really should be making phone calls. And I resent that senators had the unmitigating gall to go home and leave the House to pass a bill. And now we have to wait. And I'm going to use a word I probably shouldn't be using. We have to wait for their damn asses to come back to Washington to review something they should have been reviewing this weekend if they really cared about us.
Remember when I talked about it the other week when the president declared emergencies because we were being invaded by these children and people with blisters on their feet, that he needed the emergency powers to pass this, to shift money away from our active military even, so he could build his wall. Again, I'm telling you whose pocket part of that money went into. But let's look at this thing. They've been touting and they've been blanketing it and keeping people from saying it for the last month and a half, since we know this exists, for almost 2 months. They've been saying, oh, no, we have test kits. We have tests. Well, where are they? The reporters keep saying they went out. Nobody can get it. A lot of the governors have gone out and gotten locally tests put together and other things and purchased. But think about this. The president, with his big announcements, his Oval Office address, which they had to correct because it was all full of garbage, they had this speech the other day, last 24 to 48 hours. He said, well, we've got 1 million test kits out there. Let's think about this. Just simple numbers. This is one of the top three states population-wise, Florida, in our whole country. We have over 300 million people in the country. We have at least over 5% of that population in our state. 5%. And we have reported cases. Okay? DeSantis, Republican governor, two Republican senators, And what did they announce yesterday? DeSantis said, we've ordered, as my alter ego said, and paid for, so it didn't come from the government freebie, 2,500 test kits, he said. We have 1,000 of them. So they ordered 2,500, so they got 1,000. We're going to distribute the 1,000 test kits out of 1,000,000 test kits that the president said are out there. Do the math. 1,000 is less than 0.1% of 1,000,000, okay? And we are over 3% of the population, and we have the cases. And they're giving us 1,000 out of 2,500, and there's another 4,000,000 in the pipeline. We can't overstress our system by testing everyone, but we can allocate it on a more sensible basis. Let me let my alter ego talk about something we just got in.
I want to, Lisa Sarniak from Facebook just sent a very interesting a comment. She's talking about a senator in
Michigan.
Lansing, Michigan, Peter Lucido, who sexually harassed three young women, and he's gotten away with it. They just kicked him off a committee, and he's still really a senator. And let me just say this. Everybody in the state of Michigan better go out and vote, and you better vote for a Democrat. You voted for President Trump over Hillary. I will never, ever understand that, except that you didn't want a woman in the presidency, and you had no problems allowing a man who has sexually harassed multiple women, had affairs, had people in his cabinet that beat up women, harassed them, had affairs even with cabinet members. All of this you were okay with. And so when you have a senator who's sexually harassing people and he still stays in office, it's part of the presidency that you voted for. The Democrats came out for years. Anybody that misbehave in the Senate or the House, they force them to resign. Who has been forced to resign in the House or the Senate that have done that and worse? No one. And actually, the president defends them all.
And let me remind you, during the Obama administration, to stop us from the cliff we were falling off when he took office, he passed that bill that put money into the auto industry. Michigan is a center of a lot of the automobile companies. So you guys got bailed out. Again, it's our money. He properly spent our money to bail out our people when we needed it. Okay? He didn't say, where are we going to get the money? Came out of our pockets. He put it back into our pockets. And we got paid all those loans back with interest. Okay? Trump doesn't mention that. So anybody who votes a man in who doesn't give you any support, and remember, it was Republican governors and local politicians who changed the water in Flint, Michigan, when they didn't have to save money, and then put people in death's door with the polluted water they ended up drinking. And then they had to go through all this important stuff to pass legislation to fix it after they screwed it up. People, pay attention to what's happening in your own backyard.
And even that governor in Michigan, who should have been put in jail, he wasn't put in jail. You have a Republican senator, Senate that refused to pass bills to fix the problem in Michigan. You know, I always say when I'm on this show, and the host says it too, you got to read, people. You got to do research. And I don't care how much you hate or like a party or an individual, if you do not read, if you do not do research, you make off-the-cuff comments because you hear snippets on any news, and especially Fox News and Breitbart News, all of them have the same talking points. They don't care about America. They care about their pockets. They loathe and look down on poor people and working people. We're not good enough for them. The president has said it in his rallies. Why would I put a poor person in my cabinet? I'm so educated. He's right. He's educated. His papa paid for him to get degrees. This is why he's embarrassed to have any university put out anything about him, because they were paid to make sure that he got these degrees. He can't really read, and he doesn't need to read, because when you're a good salesman, you can sell anything. And that's what he is. Now, I don't want us to get off.
Let me just say one more thing. When you start to hear numbers coming out, because we have a homeless population that's over at least 500,000 people. And when you look at how many people are homeless on the West Coast and the East Coast, in the major population centers around New York and California, probably half of the homeless are in those two states or areas. Watch when we start doing this virus and containing people and deciding what to do, what they do with those homeless people. You'll see the president again maybe giving out contracts for people setting up tent cities, because he'll be getting someone who'll be giving him a percentage of what they get out of those contracts.
I will correct the host. Half of the homeless population do not reside in California and New York. Only actually the majority of them are residing in states in the South and out West. And you have so many of them right here in the state of Florida. Now, part of it is because you've got a transient population that comes in. They have nothing, and they just take up a park or whatever the case might be. But you also have a tremendously high homeless population. And for anybody who's been paying attention since this president has gotten into power, you see more homeless people out there. The majority, by the way, being white, older white women and white men. And the areas that I have seen, it has been incredible how the homeless population has really ballooned. So if we have all these jobs and all these benefits and all these everything that he supposedly touts, what's going on here?
He will tell you that these people don't want to work. Bottom line is, you could set up programs for them to work, things for them to learn, educate them. The difference between my alter ego and myself, I said that out of the 500,000 estimate, I think it's higher than that for the whole country, I said there's a large concentration in California and New York that maybe equals 200 plus thousand. I didn't say we don't have them in Florida. That's another concentration, because where you have more people, you'll find more homeless people, because homeless people aren't exactly stupid. They want to go someplace where they may find places to beg, people who are on the highway at stoplights to come to your car and ask you for stuff. So people aren't stupid. Even if you're out of work, you're going to try and go somewhere where you might find food or get some food from people. The point is, I'm saying, watch out as we go down this line, that just as the president used the people coming across the southern border as an excuse to put them in jail longer than the law allows, to set up tent cities, watch what he does with the billions of dollars that are allocated for this emergency to deal with these poor people who are really possibly spreading the disease. I'm predicting. Let's see where it goes.
So one of the other things that we want to talk about is, let's talk about what's happening with the market for the past 2.5 weeks. When Bush totally crashed our economy, and so many of you have purposely forgotten or want to forget, President Obama came in, he bailed out the car industry, he made sure that he stabilized our banking and insurance industry. A lot of you got actually upset. I have no clue why, because anybody that's retired, most of your pensions are being managed by insurance companies and some banking establishments, most of your pensions.
And put in a health plan that, whether people like it or not, covered many millions more that were never covered.
So the first thing he did was stabilize the market. He had to do that. He had to take care of people who were living in their cars. People like me, by the way, who lost everything. And I don't make a lot of money. It's just been very frugal all my life, and lost a job, worried how was I going to be able to come back. And what did the Republican Party do? Every time he went out to help the working people, they called him the welfare president. This is what they did. And instead of you people saying, but he's helping us, you went along with that. You went along with the fact that if he gave more unemployment insurance, he was just taking care of welfare recipients. I want everybody who's listening to me, if you have a phone, a tablet, a computer, if you know how to do searches, why don't you just go on the computer and just search who and what population are the highest who receive welfare in America? They're white, and most of them in the southern and midwestern states. So why is it okay for you to get welfare, food stamps, subsidized housing, and nobody else? If I work and I'm paying taxes, which I am, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, and everything else, if something happens to me, I should be able to get assistance. And nobody should be looking at me like I'm taking something from them, because I have supported this country for over 40 years in my work. I really resent the fact that people keep saying that. But he had to do what he had to do. In 1930, we had the stock market crash. In the past 2.5 weeks, what we have seen, and I have up on the screen, so you can see the lines of people who were out of work, who needed to be fed. And thank God for the president who decided to put together the Work Pays America program, or the WPA program. If it wasn't for him trying to shore up our country, trying to stabilize our country, we may still be in a crash. Obama put the stock market back up. He stabilized our country, stabilized our Social Security, made sure that you were getting your pensions, made sure that people still had jobs. This man comes into power and says everything is bad. He got everything handed to him that he's destroying. I look at the market now and I say to my family, what are we going to do? Every little thing that we had has just gotten wiped away in 2.5 weeks by a president and a son-in-law and a group of people who are playing the market on the downside, making money off our backs, purposefully hemming and hawing about what to do. They're not stupid. They know what they're doing because they know we're not paying attention.
Let me just say that there's an interesting corollary I can draw you as an economist. In 1929, the end of 1929, I believe it was in October, when the market crashed and the depression started, the Great Depression. In the 30s, when we started to deal with it, and then the WPA was put together, because the president recognized that, one, people need to eat. People were on soup and bread lines and the rest of it. We had unemployment somewhere between 25 to sometimes as high as 50% in areas of the country. But just handing it out wasn't also helping the country. So he was smart enough to say, okay, I'm going to give the money. People have to eat. Children have to be watched. We have to take care of our population. And again, it's our money that was being spent for our needs. What he did was the WPA and some other programs even before it started putting people to work so that we're spending the money, but we're getting something for it. As I've explained to everybody, all of our taxes throughout the history of this country haven't disappeared. We own trillions of dollars of assets because of what we bought that's worth more now, land and buildings and equipment. Now, in this current market, when you hit Obama and he took over a recession, which they called the Great Recession, because it wasn't a full depression yet, and they wanted it not to become that. When he bailed out the auto industry, that meant more people got paid for jobs. So people went back to work, because remember, we were losing almost 900,000 jobs a month when he came in the office. He turned it around, and on average, he's had almost 200,000 during Obama's reign in office. He also spent that money in the infrastructure programs, not just to give people money, but to put them to work. So you got a president who's talking about tax cuts that may benefit the corporations where they don't need extra money, because remember, we pay all the expenses when we buy the goods and services. It's our money. We need the money in the pockets of the population. When he spends it, it should be on programs that it's used. Because remember, as I pointed out in a prior podcast, when he shut the government down, when he started arguing with the Democrats over a bailout program or getting the passing the program for funding the government, he shut it down for 30 days. People were working, not getting paid. It was other Americans, black, white, pink, it didn't matter, who came out and gave them water and food for their family. We need someone who understands we're a country, it's our money, spend it on us.
And back to the WPA program and the stock market crash and what we're seeing right now. Part of that program, as my host just indicated, was putting people back to work. And that meant cleaning the street, building our infrastructure. I mean, tremendous amount of programs that if the stock market crash did not happen, we might have gotten some of the things slower and later on as opposed to quickly. Because everybody wants to work, right? But if you can clean up your community, repaint buildings, fix roads, fix potholes, you're working, you're getting paid, you feel like you're participating in your community. Well, it's the same thing here. That's what Obama did, right? All the infrastructure projects that you guys drive around and see and you say, oh my God, look at all this construction. He gave these states the money to do that. And now you're seeing the results of his policy that this president touts, but he has not passed one infrastructure program since he has been in office. Not one. You guys need to go back and reflect on how things happen. History is very, very important. Now we have a market that affects really the majority of us who don't play in the market. We kind of have a 401k. If you're participating, you probably put 3% in it just to get a matching. You probably make an average of $30,000 to $50,000 a year. You have no control about what's happening in that 401k because other people are managing it. You look at it and you say, oh my God, I only had 10,000. I only had 30,000, if that much. And the market has wiped it away. People like Trump and all these other people that are super wealthy and have been prior to this tax cut, kept their money outside of the country, flushed in cash, and now they're waiting for another bailout because of this virus. Are they kidding me or what? They don't need it. What did they do with all that money that they got and we didn't get? And I've got to tell you, I am not a fan of no payroll tax bailout or whatever the heck he's trying to say, because how is our country going to survive when we have $1 trillion plus of debt? Thank you, Mr. Trump. $1 trillion. How is Social Security payments going to be made to people who are retired, your mother, your father, your grandmother, and everybody else? And I got to tell you, on Social Security, the thing that really bothers me is that you have people on Social Security that have never contributed to Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. But because we're a compassionate country, we allow them to collect when they get 65, a minimal amount. That, in my opinion, should never happen, but I get why it's happening. We've got people who are on disability, their children, and they're all getting checks for whatever the reason. Right? But their benefits are not being reduced by what we are paying out. But again, we're a compassionate society. We let it go. We cannot be bailing out any of these companies now. What happened to the trillions of dollars that they got in tax cuts? We didn't get it. I didn't get a raise. I haven't gotten any additional money. I go to the grocery store and items cost more. They don't even cost less. Anything I buy. Where is it? Where are we getting it? Start thinking about where we are. This is a virus. This is not the war. This is not a depression. Remember that, people.
Let me just say this. If you really want to be cynical, you can look at it this way. A payroll tax cut will mean companies will have to fork over less of what they collect when they sell their goods or services. That's our money goes in their pocket. What are they going to do? Are they going to make sandwiches and hand it out to the people who need it and aren't eating? Are they going to pay our bills? They may forego some bills or stuff, but you know what? As I've told you, we are codependent. We have a symbiotic relationship. These companies would all go bankrupt if we can't pay our electric bill because people are out of work because of not congregating and allowing this virus to get under control. So if every company that we pay stuff to doesn't want to lose the investment they have and the customers they have, they'll forego it and have to work off their surplus or borrow. Remember, the treasury rates on borrowing are basically zero right now, okay? So there's not a problem on that side of the equation. It's easy to pay back a zero interest loan. By the way, Lisa again has been coming in with a few comments on Facebook, and forgetting the chaos and the lies that we see, the president's clocked in over 7,000 of them at this point. They should almost stop counting. They're running out of paper to make marks on. But in Michigan, where she seems to be, if everybody in Michigan get up and vote, there are enough independents, Democrats, Republicans who don't like what's going on. You're all Americans. If your roads are in disarray, if they've changed your water so they make more profit, get up and vote them out of office. If nobody's putting them in prison, vote them out of office. Put someone in, put somebody's grandmother in. It wouldn't matter. At least she won't be stealing from you. Okay?
I want to talk also because it's very important. The primaries are here. We have two front runners, it seems, Bernie Sanders and Biden. Personally, whoever becomes the nominee, I'm going to vote for. What I believe or don't agree or disagree with their policies is irrelevant to me at this moment in time because I want a democracy that's going to continue. I don't want a dictatorship. And I got to remind people, when Trump was running and after he came into office, he continuously said, why can't I be president for life? Look at Putin. Look at Xi. Look at this one. Look at that one. And all of you guys have disregarded what this man has said. You have got to really pay attention to what he is saying. So now, one of the things that I don't like, and I believe that, and I hope I'm wrong, that Sanders is going to do the same thing he did in 2016 to Hillary. And it's very interesting to me that Russia has had their eyes on Sanders since 2016 and has their eyes on him again. Is he the spoiler yet again? He's an independent running as a Democrat, using our money and insulting us Democrats. How dare he do that? But I'm still going to vote for him if he becomes the nominee because I want Trump out. He talks about Joe Biden and the crime bill. Suddenly he cares about black people. You know what? Sanders has been in the House for 16 years, and he's been in the Senate for over 14, 15 years. That's over 30-something years. And in all your years, Mr. Sanders, what have you really done? I remember when the Wall Street protests took place where people were upset, they were losing their jobs, the economies were failing, and nobody was paying attention. Where were you in that march? I remember in Wisconsin when the Democrats were trying to save the right union jobs for teachers instead of making it a right-to-work state, which all these Republicans, by the way, have done in all of these states. You have no rights as a worker. Where were you, Mr. Sanders, going down there and standing with the people? You represent the little, tiny little state. I'm not putting down Vermont or New Hampshire or wherever he's from. I think he's from Vermont. I'm not putting it down. But where were you? You represent a very small state that's predominantly white. You represented them and you supported gun rights. And now all of a sudden you're against it. You signed that crime bill. By the way, people, you need to go online. Again, you need to go read. Public Law 104-193, signed by President Clinton in 1996. And you need to understand what that law says. You need to look at the crime bill and look at it in its entirety. For those of us who are familiar with how bills are done in not only state government, but the federal government. You propose a bill, you write it, you try to get some co-sponsors, you submit it for it to be reviewed, it goes to committee, and you try to put a lot on the bill so that you can get at least most of it passed or all of it passed because somebody's getting a little bit of something. We have 50 states here in this country, people, 50 independent countries. And when those senators and those people in the House representing cities within those states get together, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to say, well, my state needs this and my community needs that. And they're going to hash it out and fight and argue because nobody's going to do anything for somebody else's state and get nothing for their state. You got to start reading everything that's there. Sanders and your and supporters, stop talking about the fact that he supported the bill, but he went on the floor against the bill. He could have sponsored a bill himself to deal with the abuse of women or whatever the heck he wanted to do. He has never done that. Why? Because he decided that he'll work on the floor trying to get amendments to bills that other people are working on or have sponsored or have brought to the floor for a vote. That has been his way of doing it. He really didn't want to have a coalition and work with people. If you notice, bills don't generally come out as one issue. They come out as multiple issues. There was a time that the President of the United States could do line item veto. So if you sent him a bill that had 15 things, and one of the things he didn't like, he could veto that and the bill could pass. The Republicans decided, we're not going to do that. And now the president is all or nothing. It should never be all or nothing. You have to compromise. You get something and then work at it the next time. And I'm tired of him making these comments. He supported a bill, Mr. Sanders, that allowed 14-year-olds to be tried as adults for certain crimes. Why did he support that? You care so much about the black community, you should realize that anything you do when it comes to a crime bill is always gonna be back to blacks. They're always gonna be the ones that are gonna get the harsher sentences. I don't care what part of the country you're in. That is a fact, that's what happens. And the crime bill was a federal bill, not a state bill. You got to go to your state governments and you got to figure out what they're doing with their crime bills, and you need to fight at that level. That's what people need to do. Other than that, that's all I have to say on that topic about Mr. Sanders. And then he tries to attack Biden on the NAFTA. Well, by the way, Biden voted against the Singapore bill on trade, the bill with Chile, the Dominican Republic, the Oman. He voted against CAFTA. You gotta go and look at what he voted against and why. And I am a supporter of PTT, and I'll tell you why. Because now America doesn't lead trade agreements anymore. China is the one who's controlling it all. And here we go, Mr. Donald Trump, leading from behind, not from up front. You hate a man so much that you would rather destroy America than to sit down and look at the good things and make it better. This happens in corporations also. You get a new CEO, a new director, a new VP. They don't even bother to look at what's existing, how it could become better, how it could be improved. They want their name on everything. They take everything apart, and here we go, wasting money again, trying to rebuild something that we didn't have to. This is what the president has done. And let's talk about healthcare again. I've said it before, 27 Republican governors and state attorney generals have their bills against the Affordable Healthcare Act sitting with the Supreme Court. As we speak, the president, Mr. Barr, and all his cabinet have written to Mr. Roberts, letting him know that they want the Affordable Healthcare Act to no longer be law. And I tell you people, that's what's gonna happen. because of the conservative court. So you guys are sitting there, and Bernie Sanders is talking about Medicare for all. What he should have been doing was fighting to keep the Affordable Health Care Act and making it better. We cannot have Medicare for all. All of us don't support that. How the heck are you going to pay for that? We need to fix what's happening now. Right now, what's a crisis is the fact that the Supreme Court is reviewing getting rid of the Affordable Health Care Act completely, people, completely. People in the South, you better pay attention. You're losing your hospitals. You're losing care. People out in the Midwest, people out in these small towns, pay attention.
Again, interesting. A nice saying from Lisa in Michigan again. She said, blue no matter who. Like we said, I'll vote for anybody other than Donald, because Donald has one economic plan. It's to put money in his pocket. And his infrastructure plan is to realign dollars to build tents and walls to put money in his pocket. And the good morning from Guy Cook in Washington also. We appreciate everybody who's listening. Let me get another thing straight. I've said before that when you understand a free society and a capitalistic society, it doesn't mean that people with money run the place to our detriment. Without us, they aren't wealthy, okay? So, when you leave the country, I've told people before, I've worked in almost every industry imaginable. When it comes to utility industries, when you leave America, utilities in other countries, free or not, are generally governmental or quasi-governmental. So this interaction of what the government wants and what the companies want are all commingled, whether it's a dictatorship or a democracy when you leave the country. You look at what's going on with oil. Russia, which has a lot of oil, one of the bigger producers. Russia and OPEC, you've heard about this fight they're having. Well, Putin sees an example. Now, I talked about this the other week, about a month ago. There was this thing, Dark Towers, of why Deutsche Bank, funded through Russia, is giving Trump all of this money. I said it's cheaper for them to put billions of dollars into Trump's project than to spend multiple billions on military weapons and not win a war or get something. They've gotten into Syria and other things. The oil between them and Saudi Arabia dislikes Iran and Syria. So there's a little conflict there between the Russians, but the Russians are also seeing that the shale producers in this country, where our president said, look, we're oil independent. We were oil independent when we started the industry over 150 years ago. Anyway, we want to be independent, but we're not independent if we give it out in capital and other things, and our industry collapses and we end up on the streets. So we have to make sure that we're spending our money wisely. And Putin is putting the pressure on to end up taking back the oil industry for his country.
I want to make something very quickly because we don't have a lot of time. I want you to know that Louisiana and the state of Wyoming have postponed their primaries, which were supposed to start on April 4th. I have no clue why they're postponing it. I mean, people go in, they vote and get out. But anyway, they're postponing it. Please keep an eye on the states that are suddenly postponing their primaries. And they're postponing it, people, to the end of July and August, right before we start running the actual presidential, election campaign. Very disturbing to me, but just want you guys to pay attention to that.
Be aware that they may be doing that because they don't like the wave of American enthusiasm to change our government, no matter who we are. And that may be part of the reason, so they want it to calm down, look at the virus, think about other things, look how our president saves us. Again, Florida, we're almost 5% of the country's population. We didn't even get 1/10 of 1% of those million kits, and we've got a Republican governor and 2 Republican senators. Where's the protection of our population? Who is he really doing it for? Folks, keep your eyes open. We need to change our government. And if that doesn't work out, we need to change it again. We don't need a revolution. We need an evolution. We need to come together and make changes that are for all of us. And remember, I'd love to be a billionaire or a millionaire myself, but that doesn't mean that I own the people who support the companies that I may have started or own. We either work together or we don't need them and we don't buy their products. It's that simple. Have a great weekend. I'm not looking for a revolution. I'm looking for an evolution. We don't need to kill anybody. We need to sustain ourselves and our way of living. It isn't free, but it's worth fighting for and paying for. That's what we have to all understand and accept. That's why people come here. Have a great weekend. Stay well.